have a dog. She is a chocolate lab, about 5 years old, and she's named Ellie. Now, Ellie is a, as Emily would say, an early bird. I say she's a morning person. I say person because she's, well, we treat her like a person, part of the family. But Ellie likes to wake up early, too early very often. Since she was a puppy, we've had to try to train her and say, no, Ellie, not now. And finally, we settled on this phrase, it's not time yet, Ellie. It's not time to get up. And she understands that now, most of the time. And she'll lay down again and stop bugging us. What she wants to do, of course, is to go for a walk. And that works most of the time, except when the days get longer in spring and summer, and it's not dark outside. You can't tell her it's not time yet because she sees the first light of the dawn. And she knows it's time. It's time to wake up. It's time to go. It's time to walk in the light of the new day. And I put it that way because that's what these passages are about. The one from Isaiah and the one from Romans. They are both passages that call us to wake up and walk in the light of the new day. Back in the time of Isaiah, they were dark times for Judah. The people had wandered from the way of their God, from the way of the God who had delivered them from captivity in Egypt. They had forgotten about what happened at the Red Sea when they were delivered from their enemies. They had forgotten how God had carried them through the wilderness. They had forgotten how God had taught them to live. They had forgotten their values, the things that were important. And it was a time of corruption, social corruption, political corruption. They were in a very difficult spot. They had enemies around them, most notably the Assyrians who were at the door. They finally had to make a deal with the Assyrians, you know, and they became a vassal state. It was a difficult time. And now the view of Isaiah about all this is that this is not just politics. This is God's judgment. They have forgotten God. And he points them to the future, the day of the Lord. In days to come, all the world will learn from Jerusalem, that is, from the faith that is their treasure, from the God who created all things and who is calling people to respond to him and to live a certain way. The day will come when the nations will come to Jerusalem. They will learn that way. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And they shall not lift up sword against nation, one nation against the other. They will follow the way of the Lord. And then, Isaiah, do you notice that last line that he said? Come, O Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. He's calling them back to this. In view of the future, of what God will do, come now, walk in the light of the Lord. Now we have a very similar thing in the book of Romans. Paul has laid out his understanding of what God has done in Jesus Christ. On this foundation of the one from God who offered himself on a cross and God raised from the dead, in light of how God has transformed life and offers forgiveness and new life to all who will receive that, in the light of that, the time has come for us to wake up, because the dawn is breaking. The first light has been seen, and we are called to walk in the light of that new day that is still ahead, but is breaking in upon us, is present now in our lives in Jesus Christ. We are called to put on the armor of light. We are called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in the light of the new day. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent, of course, means something's coming. Something's going to happen. And all the Christian world knows that what Advent is looking forward to is the coming of the celebration of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of this one who gave himself on a cross and was raised from the dead. It's something to be remembered and to be cherished. But Advent is two things. It's a double exposure. It is that. It is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus and to remember all that he said and did and called us to be and his victory on the cross. But it is also to look forward to what the Bible calls the day of the Lord, the time when the future of God becomes reality in all of its fullness. Not here yet, but the hope of that, the candle that we lit, the candle of hope, is present even yet. During Advent, we do light those candles. And each Sunday, we light another candle, and another candle, and another candle, until the Christ candle is lit. And the symbol of that is, of course, that the light is beginning to overcome the darkness. And we look forward to the time when that light in all of its fullness has come. And so the call for us today is to wake up, because we are called to walk in the light of the Lord. Put on the armor of light. The coming of Christ in his earthly life was something that the children of Israel looked forward to for a very long time. They believed that a Messiah would come. That was their faith. And they envisioned that Messiah, a son of David, as one who would be a king like David, who would usher in the times when the enemies were defeated, when they were secure and they could live in peace. And these were people who had suffered under the rule of other nations for a very long time. And even at the time of Christ, they are under the power of the Roman Empire. They longed for that Messiah. But when the Messiah came, he did not come the way that they expected. It wasn't this King David who's going to defeat and destroy their enemies and establish a kingdom where they would be secure. It was a king who came very differently in humbleness, who was concerned about restoring, healing, forgiving, defeating evil by loving it, by saying from that cross, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Because God's not just interested in a particular nation, a particular people, and them being secure, and the heck with everybody else. But God is doing something in Christ that they never imagined. He is transforming the whole world. And he offers his son. His son dies on the cross, but then he raises him to new life, saying, no matter how dark the situation is, no matter the defeats, the kingdom cannot be overcome. Christ will not be destroyed. Your lives are not for nothing. But in him, there is new life, continuing life, better life. I think what that says for us is, you know, we can't predict how the future of God is going to come about. People talk about, oh, well, he's going to come in the heavens. That's the way the Bible tries to speak in images. But we don't know how all that's going to be about. I suspect it's going to be as much a surprise to us as it was to the people of long ago. Maybe our walking in the light is an important part of that kingdom coming. If the power of Christ's message truly settles in the hearts of all the people of the world, what a difference that would make in terms of peace, love, understanding. If we could live that out in our own lives, if we could be that as a church, if we could be that as a community, if we could be that as a nation, if we could be that as a human race. The time is to wake up, walk in the light of God's future, walk in the light of the day. That is the call. You know, last week we had ringing of bells. It was a great thing for Thanksgiving. I'm sure that we're going to ring bells at Christmas time. Bells are so much a part of this season, part of our tradition. We go to the store and there's the Salvation Army ringing bells, looking for a donation. They're an important part of the beauty and the celebration of the birth of Jesus, Christmas time. But I think we ought to add something else. Maybe we ought to think next year about adding a new item to our Advent celebration. And what I have in mind is a blacksmith with his anvil and a sledgehammer right outside the door there as we're coming into worship, banging away swords into a plowshare. Let the ringing of that wake us up, because that's what it's about. It's about God calling us to wake up, to sound the alarm. The time has come to walk in the light of the day. Amen.